The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw some man casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able to soon afterward speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter the life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the dominion of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Abby has a cousin whose name is Luke. Luke lives in Davis, California. And Luke has this amazing pit bull / lab mix of a dog whose name is Nina. Nina is wonderfully gentle, yet playful. She'll come and sit at your feet or run with you or do really whatever you ask of her. Nina is just an almost perfect best friend, except for one thing. She loves taking things and burying them. Luke has an entire laundry list of lost items that he openly admits are probably buried out in the yard somewhere. It's annoying, he continues, especially when something like your favorite hat or even one of your nice shoes will just go missing, and Nina will just look at you, not wanting to give up her secret. This little habit of Nina hiding something for herself can only go so far. One time, Luke was telling us that when he got back to the house, he noticed that Nina was acting just very sheepish. And he couldn't quite figure it out until he went out to the chicken coop to gather some chicken eggs. And he counted the chickens, and he discovered that one of the chickens was missing. Turns out, Nina had gotten into the chicken pen and most likely started to play with this poor chicken. Turns out a chicken as a play partner for a pit bull Labrador mix really isn't a good idea. Upon discovering her playmate's death, Nina decided to hide it and bury it, except she couldn't dig a hole deep enough to fit the entire chicken in, and so Luke found in the corner of their yard the chicken buried with its feet sticking straight out of the soil. So much for being innocent. You know, it's easy to laugh at Nina's habit of hoarding things in the yard. It's harder to see, I think, that maybe this is a human habit as well. As the saying goes, how well do you share with others? Sometimes are you tempted to bury something in the backyard for yourself? I know I do, more often than I would like. During my internship, I attended the region-wide, in California, the region-wide Synod Assembly, and went to a small presentation as part of this ELCA Synod Assembly on pre-marriage counseling, which was done actually by a psychologist. And it was interesting as the psychologist was going through marriage trends and was explaining that people of the millennial generation are trending, of course, later in life for many things. They're getting married later, they're buying a house later, they're having kids later. And he was describing the unique challenges to the pastors who were there, who are will be doing, of course, pre-marriage counseling for couples who are getting married in their 30s and 40s. And one of the big differences he took a lot of time in explaining to us was the challenge for couples in their 30s and 40s to share their logistical life and have to share more of their current single life in order to create a life together. You see, people in their early 20s don't have a more cemented careers or assets or routines yet, and engaged couples later in life face a very interesting dilemma in order to create this life together, and it is hard. A lot of times, the psychologists explain these couples run into buried items in the backyard that are hard to give up, in which the pastor can help them uncover. Who thought it was this hard to share? I think Jesus' disciples also have some things kept close to the chest. John, one of the disciples, seems to be quite disturbed by this imposter who says he was casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. Turns out it's a little hard to share Jesus for the disciples. Jesus is my Jesus, not your Jesus. In fact, Jesus is so much more mine than yours that I'm going to bury him in the backyard, and so no one else can see him and then stop others from mimicking him. Having this secret Jesus, of course, makes me better than you. Sounds pretty good, right? I once, years ago, when I was very young, was playing a game of hide and seek with my brother and younger cousins. Jake, my cousin, who many of you actually met a couple months back with during Soren's baptism, Jake was probably 4 years old, and he was in charge of finding us. He had found everyone but my brother Kevin, and was getting, shall we say, just a little bit frustrated. And it just so happened that his older sister, Annie, had seen where Kevin was hiding and started craftily bargaining with a very frustrated, tears-in-the-eyes Jake. They went through all kinds of things, TV time, playtime, even allowance as bargaining chips for Kevin's hiding spot. I can't remember exactly how it ended, but I'm sure my cousin Annie got a pretty good deal from it. But doesn't the church do this too? Here, we have a special connection to Jesus. Definitely a more special connection than the Roman Catholics or Baptists or, dare I say, the Presbyterians. Come over here and we'll share this with you, but you gotta join us first. What does it mean to live out whoever is not against us is for us? In an age of Jesus being my personal Savior, this has become an incredible challenge. Maybe it requires us to invite others we wouldn't normally seek to help us dig up our buried items. This week has been incredibly difficult, I think, for our country. And I don't care who you are watching the hearing with Christine Blasey Ford and Judge Brett Kavanaugh, was incredibly painful. Whether you are a staunch conservative or a staunch progressive, I'm willing to bet that your reaction was similar. This event was extraordinary. What is replaying continually in my mind over and over again is the contrast of a calm, steady courage of a woman who didn't really want to be there, but was compelled to tell her story, with a dominated male, rageful discontent. What as I, as a white male, am struggling with is this. Is this an item buried in the backyard that has been found? For Jesus says, if any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. As a hierarchical society where maleness is more celebrated, and I include myself in that, as this society which benefits some by keeping pivotal rights and power to ourselves come out into the open? You know, that Christine Blasey Ford was authentic and probably truthful, but you know what? She was probably mistaken, or drunk herself, or part of some liberal co-conspiracy, so therefore we don't really need to take her as seriously. You've all heard it. What does it mean as a church to say this does not stand? Jesus does not mean something different for me than for you. Jesus, as Savior of the world, does not mean that I get to hoard power and privilege at the expense of others. Male and female are beautiful and equal partners in bringing the realm of God to all corners of our world. Maybe it means we as a church have to teach basic sharing again versus keeping something hidden in the backyard. Many of you know that I spent a year with the ELCA Young Adults and Global Mission program in London, England. 2 weeks into my year there, my priest supervisor told me that he was leaving to take another call in Central America because he spoke fluent Spanish. His leaving put a tremendous pressure on the two remaining priests who served four yoked congregations all about 1 mile apart from each other. Because of such a shortage, I, as an international volunteer, was doing a lot of things that I probably shouldn't have been doing. I preached almost every week, and I provided pastoral care to a lot of people. There was a church deacon, or a lay associate, as some other churches call it, whose name was Dorothy, in one of these four congregations. And Dorothy was an incredible person. She had lived in this church almost all of her life, and being in her 70s, she went and was going back to seminary studying theology. And I could tell that she had a desire to be a priest. Dorothy did everything in the church, and she was leading all kinds of, from the youth, from different committees, from different initiatives on the street. Dorothy was there. The problem was that this particular congregation, St. Michael's, one of the four yoked churches, refused to allow a woman to be a priest and to even allow a woman to lead major portions of the worship. But due to our staff shortage, this changed. During one of the daily masses, it turned out that Dorothy was the only one available to do the service or preside at Holy Communion. So St. Michael's decided to change its congregation policy and give Dorothy permission to preside. Here was a person who had spent almost her entire life in this church, studying theology, serving others, who was now nervously presiding over worship for the first time. I was able to catch the moment where Dorothy gave the final blessing of the people. And it was incredibly moving for me to see this 70-year-old woman giving that blessing. It was a moment that the church was forced into acknowledging, that it had to share its Savior with all its people, no matter who you were. Jesus is for me what Jesus is for you. It doesn't matter if you are a young little boy or a 70-year-old woman, someone who has suffered from abuse, or someone who is trying to get on the right side of things. Jesus is for me what Jesus is for you. May God grant us peace and understanding and the ability to share the meaning of Christ with everyone. And may God bless us in our time of lifting up those who have been oppressed and sharing with them in our hope of abundant life. Amen.